could just be someone that God could bless someone else through, a channel of God's blessing. We are this summer looking at spiritual disciplines, or I've titled them godliness exercises, because we're taking as the verse for the summer the portion of 1 Timothy 4:7, where where Paul says to Timothy, "And exercise thyself rather unto godliness," to exercise ourselves toward godliness. We were saved so that we would become godly. In other words, God saved us so that we could be conformed to the image of His Son. And God uses circumstances to accomplish that in our lives, and we don't have control over circumstances. God uses other people to accomplish that in our lives, and we don't have much control over other people. But then here He says to exercise yourself toward godliness, and we do have control over what exercises we do and how much we exercise ourselves toward godliness. Now, in recent times, in recent being several decades, these exercises toward godliness have come to be known as spiritual disciplines. So if you wanted to do more study on these, you could read several different authors about spiritual disciplines. There's some real odd thinking about it, that in some way the actual doing of these things gives you godliness, like earns you godliness, and that's not what we believe. But the Bible does teach us to practice these things. And so we understand that as we're doing these things, in a certain sense, as we do these things, God meets us there. God tells us to do these things. It's not like we earn any type of a godliness, but God works through our lives and in our lives as we practice these disciplines. We've talked about getting the Bible into our life, and there's many different ways to do that. Just hearing the Word, reading the Word, studying the Word, meditating, memorizing. We've talked about prayer. We've talked about evangelism. We've talked about worship. And last week we began looking at the discipline of fasting. There can be some confusion about fasting, and there can also be some fear. Fasting, that's my belly. What does that mean? And so we started looking at it, and I'm trying to be maybe overly biblical, because I do think it's something that we should work into our lives as a discipline, but I don't want us to be. I read this. I'm going to flip through here. I just think it was a great what I read at the end of the time we had last week. Remember, the guy said, "I fasted on several occasions and nothing happened. I just got hungry." "Several years ago, I heard a couple of pastors discussing fasting. On their recommendation, I tried my first fast. They said it was commanded in the Bible and should be practiced by every Christian. I'm a Christian. I decided to try it. After putting it off for several days, I mustered up enough courage to start. I couldn't even go to the breakfast table with my family because I didn't think I would have enough willpower to keep from eating. So I went on to work. The coffee break was almost unbearable, and I told a little white lie about why I didn't go with the group. All I could think about was how hungry I was. I said to myself, if I ever get through this day, I'll never try this again. The afternoon was even worse. I tried to concentrate on my work, but all I could hear was the growling of my stomach. My wife prepared a meal for herself and our child, and the aroma of the food was all I could bear. I figured that if I could make it till midnight, I would have fasted all day. I did, but immediately after the striking of the hour of 12, I dug into food. I don't think that day of fasting helped me one bit." And he's probably right. But we don't want to just like, well, so-and-so, he fasts and says we should fast, so I'm going to fast. And so I want us to have really a biblical understanding of it. It is, in a certain sense, it can be a practice that people misunderstand in a few different ways. And so we started talking about last week. We're just looking in the Bible. There's different kinds of fast. We noticed that there was what we we labeled a normal fast, which would involve abstaining from all food, but not from water or liquids. There was a partial fast, which was a limitation of the diet. Like Daniel, they had only, what does the Bible call it, pulse and water. But a limitation of the diet, but not an abstention from all food. There is what we labeled an absolute fast, which was the avoidance of all food and liquid, even water. And the Bible describes what we labeled a supernatural fast. Human beings cannot live longer than 3 days without water, but some people in the Bible were able to fast longer than that. So they must have had supernatural assistance in that. Moses says he went up into the mountain and didn't eat food or drink water. There's an implication, it might be, might not be, that Elijah did the same thing in the same mountain later on. And it might be that Jesus' fast of 40 days was without water. It doesn't say that, but it might be there also. But anyway, there's these types of fast. And then we talked about, we noticed that there's a different fasters. I'm kind of making up that term, and I don't like it, but we'll just use it. So there's a private fast, and that's where an individual fasts on his own. They determine that they should fast for some reason, and they do it on their own. This is what Jesus describes when he talks about fasting. Don't let people know that you're fasting. All that. Obviously, that would be a private fast. There are congregational fasts where something came up to the congregation of Israel, and they proclaimed a fast. And that might also be known of as a national fast. Nineveh fasted, the whole city. So there's private, congregational, national fasts. And then we talked about how often people fast. We see fast in the Bible. There was, in the Old Testament, one fast was prescribed by God once a year, the Day of Atonement. They were to afflict their souls for that day. So God commanded only one fast. When, after several hundred years, and they were captured and taken to Babylon, the Jewish people in Babylon had added a few days of a few different days of fast to their traditions. There was four. One, I think, in the fourth month, the fifth month, the seventh month, and the tenth month. And so the seventh month might be the Day of Atonement, or it might be an additional one, because that would have been in the seventh month. But either way, they had added those, and not everybody did this. But you remember reading about the Pharisee's prayer. Of course, he didn't do much praying, but he did tell everybody that he fasted twice in the week. Sounds like every week he fasted two of the days out of the week. That fast probably didn't do him much good. But anyway, so there's different spaces of time between fasts. We see that in the Bible. But most of the time, the fasts seem to be occasional. There, on some occasion, people fasted. Jehoshaphat called a fast because he had an enemy attacking him. Esther asked for a fast because she was going to go before the king. So various times people fast, and it seems like there's an occasion that prompts the fast. So it's not scheduled. It's occasional. So those were kind of like our describing the fast that we see in the Bible. Now, and then we started to define a fast biblically. Obviously, we'll mention it because I think, well, I don't know if I hear it as much now, but about a year ago, everybody was like, IF. You know, IF is the latest rage in losing weight, intermittent fasting, right? You know, so it's the same thing, kind of. It's fasting. You're abstaining from food for a certain period of time. But intermittent fasting is not biblical fasting. I'm not saying it's sinful. Not sinful, but it's not biblical. It's physical, right? You're doing it to accomplish a physical purpose. Anyway, but biblical fasting would be a Christian's voluntary abstinence from food for spiritual purposes. So it has to be done by a Christian. Just because somebody's fasting doesn't mean they're fasting biblically. Only a Christian can fast biblically. So there's no eternal value to a non-Christian to fast. The only way they can get any eternal value is by turning from their sin and believing on Christ and receiving Him as their Savior and Lord. So, but once we're saved, if we're fasting for biblical purposes, God promises that, God indicates that He will bless those that do that. So there is spiritual value to fasting, but not to people who are not Christians. It should be voluntary. If it's coerced, that's the reason. Why are you fasting? Because my mom made me, or whatever. You know, that's not a spiritual reason. There needs to be a spiritual purpose, and so it has to be voluntary. And it has to be a spiritual purpose. There will be physical effects when you fast. I mean, if you just skip a few meals, there's going to be physical effects, and you probably will lose some weight, and it'll affect your body the next day and whatever. But if the only reason you're doing it is to get those physical effects, then it's not a biblical fast. It's a physical fast. Not sinful, but it's not spiritual. And then we did point out that there are ways, there are things that people use the idea of fasting that's in the Bible and apply it to other areas. A broader sense of fasting would be the voluntary abstinence or denial of a normal function or something that is perfectly fine and normal, but you keep yourself from it for a spiritual reason. Might be that you have a digital fast these days. People didn't have digital fasts 50 years ago, but we kind of need them once in a while. Or any other type of something that's perfectly fine and normal, but you, for a spiritual reason, say, I'm not going to do that. That would be a fast. It's not the kind described in the Bible, but it would be one that is informed and by the Bible and would be following some biblical reason, a spiritual purpose. So, as we were going last week, we continued and said that Jesus expected that His followers would fast. I took the scriptures out so I would move along, but in the Sermon on the Mount, He talks about when you fast. And we'll get to this a little bit later because He gives some instructions that are helpful to us. So He says, when you fast. So He also says, when you pray and when you give alms. And those are things that we still do as Christians. And so when you fast, Jesus expected that His followers would fast. And then he expects it and He assumes it. We talked about the passage where the disciples of John, who fasted, came to Jesus and said, why do the Pharisees and why do we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples don't fast? And He said, well, when the bridegroom is with them, you can't expect people to fast. But when He leaves, when He's not with them, then they shall fast. So Christ has not come back yet. The Holy Spirit has come and He's a comfort to us. That comes alongside us, but he's not Christ. And so until the bridegroom comes back, Jesus said, then shall they fast. He assumes that we will fast. So with those things in mind, we say that we should fast. He expects us to fast. Now, Jesus did give some instructions about when we fast, and those are in Matthew 6:16-18. This is in the Sermon on the Mount. He gives instructions. He gives a negative, don't do this when you fast. He gives a positive, do this when you fast. And He gives a promise. So in verse 8:16, He says, moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. So, here is a don't do this when you fast. And it is basically, don't let people know that you're fasting. You're not to look like you're fasting. You're not to stare at everybody's food. So they say, do you want some? Oh, no, I'm fasting. You know, you're not to look miserable. You're not to look like you're suffering. You're not to neglect your appearance. You shouldn't be announcing it. I'm fasting. Now, it is perfectly fine, especially if you live in a home where somebody makes a meal for you, to let them know that you're going to be fasting. You know, when I have done a fast, I'll let my wife know, because I don't want her to make dinner and me say, oh, I was fasting. It's not that I shouldn't let anybody know. It's that I don't fast so that I can let people know. Right? Okay. So, when you fast, it's not to be so people will know. Don't let people know about it. And we could modify that and say only let people that really need to, out of consideration for what they're doing for you, know. But it shouldn't be well known, or very, or even little known. Then there's something to do. Verses 17 and 18. But when you fast, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. So this is just the other side of the same instruction, but he says, look normal. Present yourself so well that no one can tell that you're fasting. You shouldn't be somebody coming, are you okay, brother? You know, you should just look normal. The only observer of your fast should be the Lord himself, the secret one. No one else should know unless it's unavoidable or it's necessary, like a spouse. The problem is not information, it's desire. Do you want people to know? But then, interestingly, and I think that this supports the idea that we should fast, Jesus says, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, he sees what you're doing in secret, shall reward thee openly. And the openly is not as important as to this point, is that he rewards those. So he shall reward thee. Will we get what we think? Why? For the purpose that we're fasting? Maybe not, but he promises that he will reward us. So that's the only instruction that we have from the Lord about fasting. Don't let people know about it. Don't look like, or make sure you just look the same as what you always do, and the Lord will reward thee. So there's not a command about how often. The Old Testament, the nation of Israel, once a year, and then they added these in. So how often should we? Well, for one, we would say that this discipline, like any other, shouldn't be legalistic. Meaning, I can't say, if you're anybody that's a good Christian, fast at least twice in the week, like the Pharisee, you know, or even once a week or whatever. So we can't say, well, I'm going to fast this much because that'll prove I'm a good Christian. That goes against the whole idea of biblical Christian fasting. It can't be a legalistic routine, but it should be a discipline. And what are disciplines? Discipline and exercise is something that you do kind of frequent, right? If I said, I'm a weightlifter, and you said, oh, how often do you lift weights? And I said, well, I do it once a year. Okay, you just proved my point, didn't you? You laughed. You said, you're not a weightlifter. You only do it once a year. So if this is a discipline of fasting, we should do it. It should come up. The occasions for it, let's just put it that way, the occasions for it should come up more than once a year. Let's just leave it there. I don't want to prescribe, right? Because that's not what you walk out here and say, well, Pastor Bogan said it should happen once a month. I'm going to find my calendar. I'm going to do it once a month. That way, I'm spiritual. That's not the idea, is it? We understand that, I think. So, I think, at least for myself, I have, once I realize that this is something that I should do, I put it into my life regularly for a while so that I could learn the discipline. Okay? I did do it on a regular scheduled basis because I had gone so long without ever doing it and even thinking, oh, people that talk about fasting, they're kooks, they're you know, whatever. And when I realized this is something that the Bible says, and I realized for myself that this is something the Bible says, I thought, well, I need to do this often enough and regular enough so that I can learn discipline. After a while of doing that, you could say, okay, I understand this discipline. I understand how God uses it in my life. Now I can look for occasions when I should do it. But that's just my experience with it. But I think that it's helpful. I would just say that it needs to be often enough to be called a discipline. You know, whatever that is. Prayerfully, you understand that. Now, you could come to that. How long should you fast for? Well, that's up to you and the leadership of the Holy Spirit also. In the Bible, there are examples of fasts that lasted one day or even less. They fasted until even, meaning they skipped one or two meals, not even the whole day. So there's an example where they fasted one night, a 3-day fast, a 7-day fast, a 14-day fast, a 21-day fast, a 40-day fast. There's all different lengths. So they could be different lengths. The Bible doesn't say, doesn't count as a fast unless whatever, right? So we should just allow the Holy Spirit to help us with that. We're thinking, we're meditating on this. Say, well, whatever you come up with. I don't think you could fast between meals, though. So I won't eat any snacks. And every time I want a snack, and I think people would laugh at you if you said, well, I've limited. Well, for some of us, that would be cutting out a fair amount of food if we only ate at meals. But anyway, so now we get to what I think is the key to understanding this. We've got all these details and they're important, but the key is that fasting should be done for a purpose. And I'm going to skip all the different purposes that we can find in the Bible and hold those for next week. But I want to show you, let's turn to Zechariah chapter 7, and I want to just show you how God speaks about a fast. And to me, this is the, it's the clearest passage that shows us why we should fast. So Zechariah 7, and I need to turn there myself. Zechariah is what, second to the last book in the Old Testament, I think. There's Matthew, there's Zechariah. Yep, Zechariah 7. In Zechariah 7, verse 1, I'll read there, and you can catch up where you're there already. Zechariah 7, 1, and it came to pass in the fourth year of King Darius that the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah in the fourth day of the ninth month, even in Chislu, when they had sent unto the house of God Sherezer and Regemmelech, and their men to pray before the Lord and to speak unto the priests which were in the house of the Lord of hosts and to the prophets, saying, should I weep in the fifth month separating myself as I have done these so many years? So this is referring to a fast in the fifth month. We mentioned that they had a fourth month fast, a fifth month fast, a seventh month fast, and a tenth month fast. All just one day in those. We can see that. So they said, should we do this? They were weeping and fasting because they had been taken out of the land, and now they were back in the land. So they said, well, should we keep fasting? And Then came the word of the Lord of hosts unto me, saying, speak unto all the people of the land and to the priests, saying, when ye fasted and mourned in the fifth month and the seventh month, even those 70 years, here's God's question, did ye at all fast unto me, even unto me? So he says, what's his question? Why were you fasting? Right? He doesn't say it exactly that way, but listen to what he says. and I'm just paraphrasing, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh month, all those 70 years, did you do that for me? Did ye at all fast unto me, even to me? So his question is, why did you fast? And to God, that's what's important. Why do you fast? And when ye did eat, and when ye did drink, did not ye eat? Of course, he knew, and so now he's telling them, did not ye eat for yourselves and drink for yourselves? Should ye not hear the words which the Lord hath cried by the former prophets when Jerusalem was inhabited and in prosperity? So he says, why were you fasting? Did you do this for me? So when we fast, we need to think this is for a reason. There is an occasion. And actually, I said I was going to skip them. I'll go ahead and read them, and then we'll look through next week. We'll look at how the Bible shows this. So we could fast to strengthen prayer. We could fast to seek God's guidance. Now, if you wanted to, you could think of verses where this is. We could fast to express grief. We can fast to seek deliverance or protection. We could fast to express repentance and return to God. We could fast to humble ourselves before God. We could fast to express concern for the work of God. We could fast to minister to the needs of others. We could fast to overcome temptation and dedicate ourselves to God. We could fast to express love and worship to God. Now, all of those are reasons for fasting that we can see in the Bible. There are some things, I might have said one of those, and there's some things when we say it, we have to say, that's true, but it's not this, and we'll get into those next week. But those are all biblical reasons. Those are reasons that people in the Bible fasted, and we should just remember that when we fast, we should have a biblical fast for a reason. Lest you be like me, you could be like me years, not that long ago, and say, well, I've got the Holy Spirit with me now, so I don't have any reason to fast. That wouldn't be following clearly, closely to what Scripture says. Now, again, we'll try to finish this up next week. I don't want you to be that guy that says, well, he said it, so I'm going to do it. Now, you have a little bit more information now, and you could fast biblically with what we've talked about. At the same time, you shouldn't just do it because I said. So, rather than go any further, next week we'll review even faster and then spend our time looking at those, spend about 3 minutes each, I guess we'll say, looking at those 10 reasons to fast. Let's pray. Father,